لا إله إلا الله محمد.
بسم الله الحمد لله. السلام عليكم. Peace be unto you. Welcome to the Dean Show. If you're in Chicago, you can catch us CAN TV 36 Wednesdays at midnight or Thursdays at 2 p.m. If you're not in Chicago, people from all around the globe tune in to thedeanshow.com. All of our shows are there. We like to help bring out and help you understand Islam, which is the fastest growing way of life. And we bring on guests from all around the globe. We're at the journey of faith. And when we come back, we're going to be helping you, giving you some techniques, talking about the importance of seeking knowledge, the benefits, some of the techniques. So you do not want to go anywhere. We'll be right back with our next guest, Sheikh Waleed Abdul Hakim, here on The Dean Show.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Peace be unto you.
Peace be unto you too.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, actually. May Allah reward you for coming all the way from Chicago.
You too.
And you're welcome in Toronto.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. We want to talk about something that's very important, seeking knowledge. We want to be those who are on the higher levels. So we want to worship our Creator properly, and you need the knowledge.
Yes. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. I start with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorified. People always ask about what is the best way, or how can I go to the highest level of paradise. And if you think about it logically, if we think about it, the person could, for example, they could pray all their life long, they could fast every day of their life, they could go every single year to the pilgrimage to Hajj. They could become rich and then spend all their money. But really, again, this is limited because the person is limited by the time of their death. The average person, the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us that the average person's life from among his nation is between 60 and 70 years. So how within that lifetime the person could go to the highest level of paradise? Our Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us that if someone who seeks knowledge taught someone else, for example, how to pray, then every single time this person prays, the person whom he taught, the other person who taught him would get the reward for it. So if I teach 100 people how to pray, and they're praying all their life, on the Day of Judgment, in my scale, if Allah wills, I will have the reward of all the prayers they did combined. So that way I'm getting several lifetimes of deeds, just by teaching people knowledge. And for that reason, one of the best ways to go to the highest level of paradise is the person seeks knowledge and teaches it to people.
Now, you actually have an impressive resume. I mean, you are somebody who's been studying Islam for about 20 years, is that correct?
In Saudi Arabia, some of it was, I was in elementary school,
yeah.
And it was an Islamic school in Saudi Arabia, which has a little bit different curriculum than the regular school,
yes.
Over there. And then, alhamdulillah, thanks to Allah, after that I graduated and I went to study in the university. And also, as you know, because it is mainly the country where Islam started, that there are so many, almost in every mosque, there is always lessons of knowledge by some of the best scholars in the world.
Yeah.
So alhamdulillah, the poor slave of Allah, that Allah decreed for him to be there, that I was able to benefit and take advantage. I think I did from over there.
We got two poor slaves right here.
Poor slaves, yes.
Of the Creator.
We're all poor slaves.
And we're proud to be slaves of the Creator and not slaves to the material world. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. We are all slaves of Allah. And this is something we were taught, that the person would try to refrain from the using the word I as much as possible,
yeah.
So they wouldn't be... bragging. It's yeah. More that everything good happened to us is because Allah has decreed it and has given it to us as a benefit and as from His blessings.
And we are here to learn, and it's a blessing to have individuals such as yourself that we can learn from, and then we can put it out to the whole world that they can benefit from this knowledge that you have gained. Alhamdulillah, all praises to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Now, also tell us, you have a master's degree in Islamic studies?
I'm still working on a master's degree in Islamic studies. I finished, alhamdulillah, thanks to Allah, I finished a master's degree in life skills training.
Great, so we're going to be getting some good advice, inshallah, from somebody who knows this deen, this way of life. Tell us now, we have so many people embracing Islam, embracing that way of total submission, surrender, not to a man, to a woman, but the one who created man and woman, the creator of the heavens and earth.
Yes.
So now, it's very important that people, they've realized that I don't want to worship anyone but the Creator. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the last and final messenger. Just like Jesus, Moses, Noah, and all the other prophets that preceded him, they were messengers. They were the ones, they were the way, the truth, and the light, showing us how to worship the Creator correctly.
Yes.
This way of life has been saved.
Mm-hmm.
We have everything that we need to learn. We don't have to invent things and make up things on our own. So tell us, for that person, and even people who've been in this way of life, but now they've been procrastinating a little bit, we want to create this enthusiasm and show us the proper way how to start. Let's say someone just took Shahada.
Yes.
They just took this testimony of faith. They're a Muslim now.
Yes.
What are the steps? Because I see a lot of people, they come into it and they still haven't even established the prayer.
Yes.
So what are some of the techniques? Because it can be overwhelming at times. It's so much knowledge. How much a day? How much do you take in so you don't overburden yourself? Talk to us about this, please.
Absolutely. And if you allow me, I would rewind just a little bit before.
Please go
what
ahead.
About someone before they accept Islam or know about
take
Islam?
Take it from there.
Seeking knowledge is for everyone, not just for Muslims. And what I want to say is, the person, first of all, you mentioned procrastination. This is something the person should not procrastinate upon, because if the time of your death comes, that's it for you. That's the end of it. You're in this life to be tested. And how would I know from all the religions around the world? You have Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, all these religions and too many choices. How could the person know what is the right religion? And that comes by seeking knowledge, because we have to know that Allah, our Creator, is just.
Yes.
And He wouldn't just let people in confusion about the different religions. There has to be a religion that is the correct religion among all of these. Otherwise, the people would not know how to worship their Creator. And the only way the person would know what is this religion is they have to go and investigate. They should take some part of their life and do this as soon as possible and try to learn as much as they can about different religions, and then they would make the choice. And I know that if a person sincerely does this without any bias, that they would find the message of worshiping Allah alone and submitting to Him, which we call Islam, and which was the same religion for all, for before the religion of Prophet Muhammad, the religion of Jesus, peace be upon him, and Moses and everyone. Now, coming to your question about the new Muslim who just accepted Islam.
Tell me one thing before you go on.
Yes.
Tell us, I want to just ask you one question in relating to this, so we don't have to rewind again.
Yes.
Does Islam encourage someone who now might have been brought up as a Christian, as a Hindu, and you know what? They're seeing that this whole man-God thing, that God is a man, God died for my sins, or that the multitude of gods, it doesn't make sense, it doesn't go with my nature.
Yes.
Does Islam encourage that people investigate, that do we say Islam is it and that's it, I can't look at anything else? Or does Islam encourage that, go ahead, look at everything else, and you'll find out by looking at these things that that's not the truth, that this is what would be the most rational, logical, and provides the most evidence? Can a person do that?
The person, Allah, when He sent the Quran,
yes,
the message there is logical, and at the same time, it's challenging the person. It tells the person, go and search.
Oh, yeah?
Go and search and go and see, and you will find for yourself that, for example, when God challenges them, could you bring even one verse by your own? First, He challenges them to bring a book like the Quran, and then could you bring one verse like this? So the person is being challenged, and in fact, the person is ordered to reflect and to try to arrive at the correct solution, at the solution that will save him on the Day of Judgment, which is worshiping God alone. Now, the person, obviously, if we have several religions, we can't say they're all right at the same time. It's impossible, because logically, if someone says something, this piece of paper is white, and someone else says it's black, and it only has one color, it could be that color or this color.
One is right, one is wrong.
One is right. They can be. So if one religion tells me that a man, or Jesus be upon him was a messenger, another religion says it's God, and they're contradicting each other, one of them has to be right.
Yes.
They can't be both right. We can't say all religions are right. So the question now is, logic. If we're going to speak logically, it's either all wrong, or one of them has to be right. There is no other third argument. So in that case, what is the right one? The person has to do a search and learn the knowledge of several, and then they would, as I said, because God is just, they would, if they are sincerely doing this without any bias, they would have to find what is the correct religion.
Now, if a person says, you know what, all religions are the same, what do you respond to this with? They say this is all man-made.
Well, one of the claims that we hear often is that all religions preach good. So it doesn't matter if I follow one or the other. But really, upon examining the religions more thoroughly, we would see that, yes, all religions maybe will tell you, don't lie, don't steal. But how? What's the correct solution? How could we achieve a society that would not do all these wrongdoings? There has to be a system. And this system, we have to take it as a whole. We can't break one part of it and do the other. So in this case, if someone tells about, Islam, about the punishment for thieves, someone might say, well, this is injustice. But wait a minute. What about first the zakah, which is the charity that the person has to give? It's an obligation on him to give every year. That is enough. They said it's enough to fulfill all the poverty in the world, which was calculated to be close to 2.5%, the same that is dictated in Islam. So we have to apply it as a system, and Islam is different because it gives you a solution. It doesn't just tell you this thing is wrong, stay away from it, or this thing is right. It's a whole system that works, and it has worked. It has been tested.
Yes.
It's not something we're going to test and see if it works or not. And we see this when Islam wanted to make alcohol forbidden, because it causes, as you see, it's the number one cause of crime in the developed country and in the world. So if the person, they tried in the United States in close to the 30s, they tried for several years to ban it, and people protested and did all these things, mm-hmm. and it didn't stop them.
Yeah.
But Islam, in a three-stage process, it made people from within themselves stop completely to drink.
Yeah.
So that way, Islam shows us that it has the solutions. It doesn't just tell you this is wrong or this is right.
It gives practical solutions for practical problems that are going on. It makes sense.
Yes, and there is no problem except there is a solution for it. In either you find it in the Quran or the Book of the Muslims or the Sunnah, the narrations of the Prophet, or it is derived from these two sources by analogy.
Now, I was told you were actually born in the U.S.?
I was born, yes, in Lansing, Michigan.
Lansing, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And now you live in Canada?
Now I live in Canada. I moved recently to Canada. I was in Ohio about 2 years ago, and I just moved to Canada recently.
Okay, tell us now, this is very interesting. So if a person goes out, he's sincere, he wants to know the truth, he asks the Creator, guide me. I want to know my purpose in life. And he starts to investigate. Eventually, he'll be guided to Islam, surrender and submission to the Creator of the heavens and earth without any associates. Makes sense, huh?
Absolutely, because once you compare and you see, this was the only religion in the world that was preserved. And in fact, look at any scripture, and this is not our sayings. The people who follow those religions, they say that the scriptures has been modified in one way or the other, where the Quran, we have it in its entirety, letter for letter, word for word, dot for dot.
It's saved.
It's saved.
It's not corrupted. It's not altered, edited by man?
It's not edited by man at all. We do have translations, is something different, where someone is translating their thoughts, but we have the original.
Yeah.
The original was not lost like many other religions. We have the original in the Arabic language in its entirety.
So when the Muslims, those who have submitted themselves to their Creator, say that we have a living miracle.
Yes.
Give us another point, because you just told us about this miraculous nature that people can go and check the authenticity of this book. Tell us something else that comes to mind for someone who's maybe involved in science or something tangible that he can go test this with.
Yes, first, if we talk about a miracle, notice that all prophets and all messengers sent by God, peace be upon them, they came with a miracle so that people would know if they are genuine prophet or not. Now, all those miracles, we haven't witnessed any of them, and there is only one of them left. For example, you could tell me about the division of the sea that happened. That was the miracle of Moses, peace be upon him. You could tell me about the miracles of Jesus or someone else, but I didn't see them. So for me, that's not a proof because I didn't see them. And had the Quran did not tell me about it, I wouldn't believe it. But because the Quran told me, I believe it. Now, for a person who's living now and there is no more prophets coming, how would I know if Islam was the genuine religion? That's why, for that reason, God, the final miracle is the Quran. The word of God, it's preserved so that all the nations that would come after would be able to be guided to the correct religion. So this is a miracle that lives on forever. Now, in terms of the miracles in the Quran, there are so many types for so many different people. There is logical miracles, there is linguistic miracles, there is even laws of society miracles, and the laws of society, there is scientific miracles, and the person could easily search for these miracles either through a book or through the internet. Now, there is no excuse for anyone not to seek the knowledge. Knowledge now is just a few clicks away from you. So go and seek it from authentic sources and see where this is going to guide you, and try to ask, put some questions that you have about the purpose of life and all these things, and try to do, maybe you could put it even in a sheet or Excel file, try to compare, this religion says this, and then at the end, see which one is the one that is compatible, the one that is more logical, the one that has no mistakes here and there. You cannot find any mistake in the Quran as God challenged.
Can't have no contradiction, because if it has one mistake, it can be from the Creator.
Yes, if it has even one mistake, it's not from the Creator, absolutely.
People already are benefiting from this knowledge, God willing, and this is the importance of gaining knowledge, because now many people, if they're sincere, they're going to be enlightened. And hopefully, God willing, they're going to continue on, coming back every week and doing some more investigating. Now tell us, for those who have, we did a reverse, now we're going to come back to where we were.
Yes.
Those that have acknowledged that there is no deity worthy of worship except the Creator of the heavens and earth, in Arabic we say Allah.
Yes.
And then Muhammad is the last and final messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And then you accept, when you make this statement, Jesus, Moses, Noah, and all the other messengers, because God Almighty sent the same message. Submit to Him alone.
Yes.
And this is summed up with one word, Islam, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Islam means submit.
So now tell us, for that person who has taken the first step, some people, they drift off. There's a lot of delights, a lot of distractions of this world, and they don't continue on seeking knowledge, or sometimes we get forgetful. Give us some advice for those who have come to this realization. Give us some practical tips.
I'll give you exactly a narration from the Prophet, peace be upon him, that this actually tells us exactly where the person who newly became Muslim and accepted the message, how they would start in their seeking knowledge. The Prophet, peace be upon him, sent the companion Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He sent him to, at that time, the country of Yemen.
Yes.
And he wanted him, they were recently becoming Muslims, and he wanted to give them a guideline. So he told him, this is your mission. First, go to them. I'm just translating or elaborating on the hadith, not doing a literal translation.
Yeah.
He said, go to the people of Yemen and teach them and tell them the first thing, which is what we call the Shahada, that there is no true God except Allah, and that Muhammad is His messenger. And if and only if they follow you in this statement, then the next step is tell them that God has decreed on them 5 prayers that they must establish in the day and in the night. 5 times a day the Muslims pray. And this is what we call is the pillar of Islam, because this is, as they say, this is the pass or fail criterion.
Yes.
If you pray, you will then, based on your other deeds, you may go to paradise or go partially in hell for any sins that you did that were unforgiven or major sins, and then you go to paradise. But if you didn't pray them, then you're not guaranteed the salvation.
Yes.
And then, if they follow you in this, then tell them that God has ordered you to give a percentage of your money to the poor, not from your income of what you make, but the leftovers at the end of the year. Yes, leftover. So I make 100,000 and I spent it all. I don't have to give anything. But I made less than that, 50,000. And at the end of the year, I have 10,000 left. So that means that's spare money that I don't need. So only 2.5% of that amount I would give to the poor, which is very little, very easy. And if they do this, then tell them that God has decreed on them to fast 1 month a year, which is the month of Ramadan, from dawn to sunset, which puts there is a lot of benefits for it. That's not the focus of our talk, but it's a training for self-discipline for the person. When the person learns how to stop and do something that is permissible, which is food and drink, you learn for 30 days, stop, go. This in the same way, you're able to do this. Then you are even more trained to do that with things that are unlawful or unpermissible. I could easily stop myself from stealing, from doing adultery, from doing anything else, because I trained for something that is even permissible. And then if they do that, then the last pillar, which is the pilgrimage. Once in your lifetime, you go to Mecca, if you could afford it, and if you have the necessary conditions to do it. If you can't afford it, it drops from you. So it's a very simple religion to follow. These are the five main pillars, and you just have to stay away from the unlawful. Anything more than that is to increase your level in paradise.
Now, after this shahada, the testimony, the swearing about no other deity but the one true God, Allah, and Muhammad is the last and final messenger, and the prayer comes next. This is very important. What should a new Muslim do as far as the prayer? Does he have to instantly know everything, the opening chapter, the what to say in prostration, or does he just have to go through the movements? Give us some techniques on a daily regimen. How much time should he spend learning the prayer? Should he start learning the prayer right away? Tell us how he should set it up so he can have something more structured so it's easier on him.
Now, to elaborate on what I just said, the same steps in that were mentioned in the narration are the same steps for the person when they start seeking knowledge. Once they know the correct religion and the correct concept of God, they learn about the prayer. And Allah has told us in the Quran that the person that Allah does not decree on the person what they are not able to do.
So there's no excuse now. I got work, I got college, that it's too hard.
There's no excuse. Plus, the person could learn step by step. If something they can't learn or can't grasp now, they could learn it step by step. There is no force in this. The person just has to try their best. They would first learn how to pray, which is something very simple. They would learn the movements. They would learn just a few words. They could do it in their language until they learn how to recite it in Arabic, very simple, short passages. They would know the meaning of it. Outside of their prayer, their salah, they could pray to God directly in whatever language they want.
Yeah.
But inside, and also this is a symbol because this is the religion, the language of the religion to be preserved, that the person has to know just enough so that they would be tied to the original message, the original language. This is not a language that died like Latin or anything else. This is a language that is still alive and spoken as a first language by a quarter billion people and spoken as a second language by at least 1 billion people.
So this is a miracle in itself that you're learning the original language that the message was revealed in, because we don't have the original message that was revealed to Jesus, peace be upon him, or Moses. They didn't speak English, did they?
No.
Now, as soon as you translate it over to another language, you lose the meaning and a lot of things. So you're learning the original language that it was revealed in, step by step.
And we have to know, when we read a translation, we're reading the understanding of that translator, that person, of the message, which could be it could be accurate, could be a little bit inaccurate. It could be they're translating from one perspective, someone else translate from a different perspective. But when you have the original, anyone who challenges me about or challenges the person about the translation, we could go back to the original and see what did this language mean. And since people still speak Arabic until today, it's very easy to check this. So we would know how this message is applied. Something that is very beautiful about the Quran is God has made it so that the religion is applicable in every time and the place, in the past, now, and in the future. We have fixed parts fixed laws, these will not change with time. Stealing was wrong and unlawful. It will always be unlawful. It's not going to change in the future and become lawful. Yeah. However, we also have flexible parts of the religion that could be adapted to the place where people are and to the time. So, for example, the laws of buying and selling.
Yeah.
Now, in the past, we were using gold and silver. Now we could use papers, we could use checks. These are very flexible because they are applied within culture. The clothing, we have general outline, but also there is a cultural element in it. The person could wear whatever is people wear in their region. So that's why this is why this religion is applicable in all times and all places, because you have the fixed part, which doesn't change, and you have the part that could be adaptable. And how do we adapt it? Not to our whims and desires.
Yeah.
We go back to the original message in Arabic and see, could we take that ruling out of that verse or that hadith or not?
This is amazing. Another proof that this is the way of life that is left for all of mankind until the day of judgment. Couple more points.
Yes.
Before we come to an end. The benefits. Some of the benefits and some of the good things, the wisdom that comes from establishing this prayer. Can you talk about this quickly?
Establishing this prayer is the connection with God. And the person, because they have to face God, they have to stand in front of God 5 times a day. So I know I can't really do anything in between that is unlawful. How am I going to do something that is wrong? How am I going to steal? How am I going to look at something I shouldn't look at or do adultery or anything? When I know that just a couple of hours, I'm going to stand in front of God. How am I even going to have that face? So by establishing the prayer on time, I'm having the self-discipline of time. I'm also reminding myself always my connection with God, that I shouldn't do something wrong. I might fool people when there is no cameras, there is nothing. I could do whatever I want in a locked room, but God is watching me. Mm-hmm. So I know this because I'm going to stand in front of Him. That's number one. Number two, it's a way of uniting us all. We're all praying towards the same place, Mecca. We come 5 times and we go to, at least the men, they go to the mosque, to the house of the worship, and they meet each other, and they ask about each other, how's your family? If someone is missing, I would know that this person might be sick, I have to go and visit them. I would establish those ties.
Family, community.
Strong. The family and the community, and then on a bigger scale, the Friday prayer, which is the special Friday prayer with the speech, and then even on a bigger scale, in Hajj and pilgrimage, people come from all over the world to meet in this one place from all different races. So by establishing the prayer, this reflects on my whole life, my connection with God. It also makes me feel safe that whatever bad things happen to me in this world, I still have my connection with God. So I know that no matter what happens, I'm going to be compensated on the Day of Judgment. But if I don't establish the prayer, I don't know. I've just cut my relationship with God.
Yeah.
And this is, if I cut my relationship with God, how am I going to feel safe? I'm driving, I'm going to be scared all the time that, you know, I'm falling into an accident and die. And I'm not guaranteed salvation. So that's the problem.
So salvation, when you establish the prayer...
When I say salvation, I have to define it so our non-Muslim audience would not misunderstand. Every Muslim who accepts Islam and accepts that there is no God but the true God will be guaranteed salvation, meaning they will go to paradise as long as they don't associate or worship someone else with God. However, going to paradise directly is another story. If I become Muslim and I'm still a bad person doing all wrong things, no, I'll have to get punished in hellfire. Eventually, I will go to paradise because I accepted the message, but I'm not guaranteed to go directly unless I become a very good person in my whole life. And this is really different than when we say that someone died for your sins, all your sins are forgiven automatically, and yeah, then I could do whatever I want.
Yeah.
So this is different. Being a Muslim makes me want to reach perfection in every single aspect of my life.
So establishing the truth and then acting upon it, doing the good that the Creator told you to do.
Yes.
Your whole life, self-development.
Yes, self-development plus, I'm not just, it's not one paradise fits all.
Yeah.
No, I want to get, there's different levels for different, if I work hard and someone else is procrastinating or lazy, it wouldn't, I can't say what's just and what not to God, but the person would deserve to get something better on the Day of Judgment.
So higher ranking.
So that's why I want to reach perfection in everything. In my work, with my relationship with my wife and children and parents and family, and with my brothers and sisters from Islam, I want to reach perfection in every single part of my life to be able to deserve to go to that highest level in paradise.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Tell us where people can go to see some of your lectures or to reach you if they need to. You have a website or you have
Yes, thank you very much. We have Ilm Path. Ilm is the Arabic word for knowledge. I-L-M Path, P-A-T-H, .com, one word. And we are launching this institute here in North America. It's going to have both courses on the spot in many major cities and also online, the courses of Ilm Path. And we have so far 188 courses that will be offered within the next 3 years. And this will be translated, and we're going to teach these courses all over the world. Yeah. So I encourage you all to come and learn from it and benefit from it. And you can find the lectures over there as
May God Almighty Allah reward you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Akhi Barakallah.
Thank you very much for being with us for another episode of The Deen Show. You got to hear the simplicity, the rationale behind this simple message. Submit not to your desires, not to a man, not to a monkey, not to the sun, the moon, but the creator of the heavens and the earth. Establish a connection. When you love someone, you want to talk to him. Talk to your creator through the prayer. Tell him your problems. Tell him your needs. Because he's the only one that can really bring solace to the hearts. And at the end, it's nothing less than paradise. We hope to see you here next time again on The Deen Show. Until then, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Assalamu alaikum.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
What everyone's talking about.
Prove. If you find one contradiction, it can't be from God.
But the rational idea, the rational explanation is, you do your best.
Give up worshiping God as one. I will never give up spreading this message.
I hope that you take that necessary step. You don't know if you're going to live till tomorrow. So you got to find that urgency to do the right thing right now.
The reality of life usually doesn't sink in until tragedy comes.
You get a few bad people, the media grabs a hold of that and spins it the way they want to.
If you say that you do not believe in Jesus, you have stepped outside of Islam. You cannot be a Muslim. It is attended our faith to.
It's cold, it's late, everybody's sleeping. I arise and ask Allah to forgive me. Oh Allah, you see, oh Allah, you know, all the sins I do. I turn to you to forgive my sins and my heart.
I'm your sinful slave, you're my loving Lord. I'm the one who runs away, oh Allah, guide me.